Well, good evening, everybody tonight. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, August 26, 2014. Just a couple minutes after 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. And I'll say the introductions for tonight. I've got quite a bit of things to go over this evening, and just ask for somebody to open us up in prayer tonight.
I'll pray, Mr. Speaker. Representative Ferguson.
Okay, you have the floor.
Thank you. Lord, we just come to you tonight. We just ask you to be with us in this group. We ask for your wisdom tonight, Father, and open ears to hear the words that are being spoken to us tonight, Father. And give us your direction on these things, Father, that we want to move and move in your spirit, Father. We just pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, we have Representative Owens back with us from Indiana, and she is going to do our roll call if she's not too rusty tonight. I yield.
excuse me. I was taking a drink of water, and it kind of went down the wrong way there. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back. Definitely less stressful back at home. So anyway, let me get this pulled up and we'll get started. All right, from Alabama, Representative Roger Cook. From Arkansas, Representative Sherry Watson. From Colorado, Representative Dennis Spencer. Representative Elizabeth Ackerman.
Present, and welcome back.
Thank you. Representative Michael Ackerman.
Representative Mike Ackerman of Colorado is present.
Thank you, sir. From Connecticut, Representative Steve Martin. From Florida, Representative Michael Graves. From Illinois, Representative Jean Ferguson. Representative Andrew Phil.
Andrew is present.
Thank you. Representative Clinton Ford. Representative Marissa Grant. Representative Mary Jane Shinoda. Representative Magdalena Urbaniak. From Indiana, Representative Jenny Owens is present. From Iowa, Representative Mark Binder.
Republic Fire, Representative Mark Binder is present.
Thank you. Representative Lawrence Beckman. From Minnesota, Representative Carl Briskin. From Montana, Representative Marnie Harris.
Representative Marnie Harris is present.
Thank you, ma'am. From North Dakota, Representative Robin Cox.
Representative Robin Cox is present.
Thank you, ma'am. From Oklahoma, Representative Benita Ferguson.
Representative Ferguson, present. Welcome back, Jenny.
Thank you. From Oregon, Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Representative Tim Stillian. Representative Skylar Arment.
Representative Skylar Arment here.
Thank you. Representative Jane Burchard. From Washington, Representative Frank Martinez. From Wisconsin, Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, if you'll give me a moment, I'll get a tally, and I yield.
Thank you very much. While she is getting the tally for tonight, a couple things I want to bring to your attention. One, as I've mentioned the past couple of weeks, about getting your bios in so that we can submit those to our national website. A couple of you have sent your bios in, and I appreciate that, but there are still other people that need to send theirs in. And if that's you, go ahead and get those completed and sent in, please. Item number two is next week we're going to be off because it's a holiday week. So the individual that decides to do the motion to adjourn us tonight should keep that in mind that we're going to be off next week and we'll come back on September 9th. So hopefully everybody will have a good time off and enjoy some time with your family before some of your kids have to go back to school. So anyway, I'll yield back to Representative Owens.
All right, Mr. Speaker, I have 11 representatives representing 9 states. And I
okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to pose this to the body tonight. The first document that we're going to read that we've already read twice on the floor. The document for filling vacancies was on our ad hoc committee meeting just before this call tonight, and the Senate is making a few minor changes to that document. So my question to the body tonight is, do you want to read that document and vote on it this evening, or do you want to wait until I receive the new version of it with the changes made and then read that the next time that we meet and vote on it then? I'm going to open up the floor briefly for discussion on that. And I would personally rather postpone it and read it when we come back. But if everybody wants to go ahead and read that document tonight and vote on it, that's okay as well. So I'll yield for some brief discussion about that right now.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
You have the floor.
Yes, I would rather postpone reading it and then read it, you know, read the amended version of it. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you. Anybody else have any comments or questions that they want to bring to the floor?
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I request the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
I also agree that we should postpone the reading until after we get the Senate amendments or revisions. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you.
This is Republican Fire Representative Mark Finer requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
I was wondering, is that proper procedure? Because I guess it was just a finding, though, isn't it? Didn't this not start in this house? I'm just kind of a little confused about the procedure that is going through right now. Can you clarify
okay.
that, please?
Yes, the actual document started in a joint ad hoc committee with the House and the Senate, and then we've actually been looking at it together. We're just about a week or two behind the Senate as far as our review in the document, and they finished their reading of it last week and approved it as is, but then they decided to make some minor changes. So it's actually a document that's being worked in both the House and Senate at the same time. So it originated in an ad hoc committee. I yield.
Okay, well, I concur with reading it next meeting then. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then that we take up this document. Let me read it here real quick. The title of it, that is, the findings of the Republic Congress regarding the filling of vacancies during the interim governance, that we postpone the third reading of this document and voting until our next meeting. And with that, I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin seconding the motion.
Thank you very much. Motion and second. Is there any other discussion before we take a vote? Okay, all in favor for postponing and reading this document until the next time that we meet, signify by saying aye.
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 Is there anybody opposed? Okay, we'll go ahead and read that document. Then the next time we meet, and it'll be a revised document that we will receive from the Senate. And the other three documents that we have tonight on the floor have gone through the Senate already. And the only reason I sent you copies of all the documents in a PDF format, and at the request of Representative Schmidt, I went ahead and put dates on all the documents so we can distinguish from one document to another. So that's why at the end of the call, you'll receive the Word documents with that amendment on there, giving it a date stamp to where we can differentiate these three documents since they're all close together and they've all been submitted at the same time. So the only difference that I have on my document as opposed to yours is that date stamp that I was talking about, but I'll go ahead and read that into the record tonight as the date stamp and then give you the title of the document. This is the first document, and it's entitled 2014-0624-01. It's the findings of Congress regarding operation under the Constitution and respect the terms of senators and representatives. In the Standing Committee on the Judiciary referred for research to preparing findings regarding operations under the Constitution for the United States of America in respect to the term of senators and representatives in the Republic Congress, brought in report, which being read and reviewed was agreed to as follows. Whereas the founders of our nation began operation under the Constitution for the United States of America on the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789, and whereas there is no prudent or precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land, and whereas it is in the opinion of the Senate and the House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America and Congress assembled that the operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America must coincide with the law as cited above. Therefore, the two-year terms of the seated members of the House of Representatives shall end on the third day of March in every odd-numbered year in the United States Representatives elect shall take their prescribed oath on the fourth day of March of the same, and 6-year terms of seated U.S. senators. Those class shall have completed their 6th-year term, shall end on the third day of March of the odd-numbered year, and the U.S. senators-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the 4th day of March of the same. The acceptance of these findings of Congress shall cause the dates of operation under the Constitution for the United States of America, for the Republic for the United States of America, to be amended from the 13th day of November to the even-numbered year to the 4th day of March of the odd-numbered year. And that ends the reading, or actually it was approved by the Senate on August 5th, 2014. And that ends the reading of this first document, and I yield the floor for any discussion of this document.
This is the Public Fire Representative Mark Binder requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, help me out here. I was kind of distracted when you're reading that. Does this change the election cycle that we're presently observing right now?
What this does is it changes it ever so slightly. From my understanding, we actually started in January. This is 2014, and this is our term would expire in January of 2015, and we started in 13. This would extend our term as representatives until March of 2015, so it's extending it about 3 months. I yield.
All right, thank you very much, and I yield.
Any other comments or discussion about this document? Okay, hearing none, I will go ahead and close the discussion on that particular document and go to the reading of the second document that I have. And again, you'll have this in front of you. The only thing that you don't have in front of you is the date stamp that I put on it, and you'll receive that date stamp after this call tonight, to where we can all be on the same page when we do the next reading of these documents. The next time that we meet, this is the second document, and the date stamp on it is 2014-06-24-02. And the title of this document is Findings of Congress Regarding Operations Under the Constitution in Respect to the Cycle of Election for the President and Vice President. And this is the body of the document in the Standing Committee on the Judiciary, referred to for research to prepare findings regarding operations under the Constitution for the United States of America in respect to the cycle of election for president and vice president, brought in report, which is being read and reviewed, and what was agreed to as follows. Whereas the founders of our nation began operations under the Constitution for the United States of America on the first Wednesday in March, in the year 1789, and whereas there are no precedents in law to ignore or otherwise act in the way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land, and whereas it is the opinion of the Senate and the House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America in Congress assembled that operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America must coincide with the law as cited above. And whereas the Republic for the United States of America reestablish operations under the Constitution for the United States of America in the year 2010 and held elections that that time to fill vacant seats in offices, which in practice had had the effect of being 2 years out of sync with governance cycle that began in the year 1789. And whereas it is the sense of the Senate and the House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America and Congress assembled that one of the two courses of action must be taken to bring operations under the Constitution in sync with the original cycle, to wit. Item number one, the Republic will have an election for President and Vice President in the year 2014 for a 2-year term. Or item number two, the Republic will extend the current term of President and Vice President for an additional 2 years. The acceptance of these findings shall result in Congress drafting a resolution providing a solution to bring the election cycle for the Republic into sync with the original date of the country's stated started operation under the Constitution. And this was approved by the Senate on August 5th, 2014. And I yield for discussion on this document.
This is Representative Ackerman of Colorado. May I have the floor, please?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. It gives two options. Does it say somewhere which one they're going to choose, or how do we choose between these two options? And I yield.
Well, the choice is going to be up to us as far as the House of Representatives and the Senate. So my thought is, and this is up for discussion, and the Senate may have something different, but I'm just by going what I'm thinking as far as the House and being the Speaker, that what we will do is strike either one or the other out of this particular draft of findings, and then there'll be a act drawn up to reflect what we decide to do. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin.
You have the floor.
Yes. And in looking at the two options that are available in this resolution, my preference would be the second one, and that is to extend the current term of President Geiger and Vice President Dan Owens for an additional 2 years. You know, instead of having a, we could take the resources, you know, that we use on the 2014, we can save that and use that for building the Republic. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you very much.
This is the Republic Fire Representative Mark Binder requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yes, I'm wondering why it's so important that we get back in sync with that date. I mean, there's been a huge gap in that date, and under the law of necessity, we re-inhabited, and according to the Constitution, the president gets a 4-year term. So I just don't quite comprehend exactly why we need to get back in sync with something that, you know, they assimilate back into the date when there's such a wide gap, when there wasn't anybody sitting in the Republic presidency or Congress or Senate. And I yield with that. If you have a comment, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. My thought is we're trying the best that we can to follow the Constitution, and to follow it to the letter would mean that we have to get back into sync with the original dates and the times that respective people hold respective offices. And that's the short answer that I would give. I yield.
May I have the floor once again?
Yes, you have the floor.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm looking at the second whereas where it says there is no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land. The law of necessity is something that's, in some cases, it's a higher law above, and I know you're going to say there's no higher law than the Constitution, but it's what I'm looking for here. It's a more common sense approach to two problems. For example, if a person was swimming in a pool and said no swimming, they're swimming in a lake, okay, and there's big signs on the beach, no swimming, this, that, and the other, but that person's drowning, could the person not go in and swim and save that person? They're able to. That's an example of the law of necessity that I'm talking about here. And so I guess I feel it's a moot point that we're having to get back into sync. And that's all I'm going to comment about that. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have any comments or questions about the second document?
Representative Ferguson from Oklahoma, requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
I also agree that we just extend it for 2 years, the term, just because of the complication and all of the election process. I believe we should just extend the terms for 2 years. I yield.
Thank you very much.
This is Representative Ackerman of Colorado. May I have the floor, please?
Yes, you have the floor.
It's regarding option two. Has anyone checked with our current president and vice president whether they are willing and able to have an additional 2 years suddenly tacked on to their four-year term? That might be something to consider, and I yield.
I'll give you a point of clarification on that. It would be that their term would expire. And there's something else that I can't bring up quite yet, but their term would expire the beginning of 2015, and it would just extend it 2 years beyond that point. At least that's the way I understand it, that it would work. I'll get some clarification, and we can always bring a couple of the senators over to kind of, you know, get their idea if we need to, or probably it might even be better to have a joint session with them so we can have everybody talk about it one time to kind of get some clarification about that. But that's kind of the way that I understand that it would happen. So it would be 2 years from 2015. So it would be 2017. That's the way I understand it. And I could be wrong, but that's just my understanding at this time, my yield. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
This is Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I also want to say that I also agree with extending the term due to upheaval which would be caused by having an election so early when we're trying to get the public stabilized. I would agree that we need to extend the term by 2 more years. I yield.
Thank you very much.
Point of order. I couldn't hear what Representative Cox was saying. Mr. Speaker, would you mind repeating kind of what she was saying?
Yes, she was just concurring. Yes, she was just concurring with the other representatives that she liked the idea of extending the president and vice president's term for another 2 years.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, then I will go ahead and close the discussion on that particular document and open up for the reading of the third document tonight. And this is what the document says. The title is 20140624-03. And the title of it is Findings of Congress Regarding Operations Under the Constitution. Let me see. I think. No, this is different. Okay. It's very close. The title is very close to the previous one. Let me start over again. 20140624-03, Findings of Congress Regarding Operations Under the Constitution in Respect to the Term of Office of President and Vice President. And the body reads, in the Standing Committee on the Judiciary, referred to research to the prepare findings regarding operations under the Constitution for the United States of America in respect to the term of office of President and Vice President of the United States, brought in report, which being read and reviewed, was agreed to as follows. Whereas the founders of our nation begun operations under the Constitution for the United States of America on the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789, and whereas the Secession Act of 1792 states in Section 12, and be it further enacted that the term of 4 years for which a president and vice president shall be elected in all cases commence on the 14th day of March next succeeding the day on which the vote of the electors shall have been given, and whereas there is no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land, and whereas it is the opinion of the state, of the Senate and the House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America in Congress assembled, that operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America must coincide with the law as cited above. The acceptance of these findings of Congress shall cause the date of operation under the Constitution for the United States of America for the Republic for the United States of America to be amended from the 13th day of November of the even number year to the 14th day of March of the odd number of years. And that was approved by the Senate on August 5th, 2014. And with that, I'll yield for any discussion or comments.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, otherwise you mentioned it said 14th day where it reads 4th day.
I just thought I'd point that up real quick, but so everybody knows. But and with that, a yield.
Yeah, I caught that, but I just didn't go back and redo it. So I kind of thought that I'd done that. And that's what happens when I get stuck or I stick myself with all this reading. So I'm bound to make a mistake. Any other comments or questions about this document? Well, hearing none, I'll go ahead and close the discussion on this document as well. And kind of want to get a feel for everybody that's on the call tonight, all the members. Would it be helpful if we did a joint session with the Senate the next time that we read these documents and have them explain their conclusions and why they came up with what they came up with? Would that be helpful to everybody to have them come on, or just maybe just one or two senators come on our call next time that we meet? Would that be something advantageous for everybody?
This is Representative Mike Ackerman of Colorado. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I would agree with the plan to have a joint session with the Senate. I think we could solve a lot of problems. We have these things come up that need both houses' action. If we can just get together and easily clear up any disagreements or issues between the opinions of members of the two houses, and I yield.
Thank you very much.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
And I concur with Representative Ackerman. I think we should have a joint session with the session and with Senate, and with that, I yield.
Okay, thank you.
This is Republican Fire Representative Mark Klein requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
I think it would be very advantageous that the Senate come on and be at the next meeting with that AEO. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I heartily agree that it would be very helpful to have a joint session of Congress to this issue. And I yield.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else want to weigh in on this? Okay, well, I will go ahead and talk with the Senate, and we will have them on our next scheduled session, which will be September 9th, and I'll set that up with them, and we'll have a joint session with the Senate at that date to talk about these three documents and have any questions or comments at that time. So I'll go ahead and get that set up. And with that, I'll go ahead and yield for David Hertler to give us our education for tonight. He has about 15 minutes or so. So I will go ahead and yield to him for our education for this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, everyone, and good evening to the gallery tonight. I'm hearing some good reports that the galleries, people in the gallery are enjoying the call, and we welcome you each and every Tuesday night to join us. I want to welcome back Jenny Owens. We've missed you. And I want to ask the question, as I left you last Tuesday, who was the gentleman that was responsible for starting the United States Navy and the Library of Congress? Does anyone have the answer to that?
This is Republic Fire Representative Mark Binder. I've got the answer to that.
Go ahead, sir.
That would be President John Adams. The Library of Congress was established in January 26, 1800, when President John Adams approved legislation that appropriated $5,000 to purchase such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress. And then also the Continental Navy was formed in 1775. And John Adams was a vigorous congressional support in the face of stiff opposition. And I believe that's all I need to say. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Binder. I tell you, John Adams was one aggressive man. If you look at it, the trail that this man blazed, just an awesome man. I just want to, we're not going to be getting back together until the 9th of September, and I just want to just lay out a preview. We're moving along here, of course, to Section 8, and you're looking at Section 9 coming around the corner. Just would like you to consider kind of looking into what is habeas corpus. Another thing is what I really want to talk about is the titles of nobility. That would be Section 9, Clause 8. And then another thing is in clause four, you know, what is capitation, taxed by capitation? Maybe we could kind of look at that. So just kind of a preview, some highlights that'll be coming up in section nine. And looking back, kind of review of last week, what a wonderful job Representative Mark Binder and Representative David Schmidt did with 5 and 6. And I just want to kind of review that, just simply, you know, talking about, we've kind of talked about it off and on here in the last few weeks. You know, if you're dealing with paper money, you're just trading debt. And you know, when we use FRNs, we are trading Federal Reserve debt. And Congress doesn't have the power to print money. They have the power to coin money and to regulate its value. Constitutional money has to be gold and silver. Article 1, Section 10, no state shall make anything but gold and silver, coin, tender, and payment of debts. This has never been amended in the court. It never has been changed, yet most states have passed legal tender law clause that make Federal Reserve notes legal tender. In a few states recently, they have produced writs having to do with money that would make gold and silver legal tender, the way gold and silver is treated even if it was minted by the United States Treasury. If you go to a coin dealer and you buy, you know, junk silver, like 9 cent U.S. silver coins before 1963, guess what? You have to pay a tax on that transaction. If you go to the bank and you exchange a $10 bill to get 10 ones, you don't have to pay any tax on that, but that's an exchange of currency, so that's legitimate. But if you take government quarters, 50 cent pieces and dimes, and I've done this, and you want to sell them, you have to pay taxes because it's not legal tender. In fact, if you would go some of the good jewelry shops, the ones that are in this business that I've gone to in Wisconsin, that if you want to do a buying of coins before 63, buying, selling, they will recommend you to buy out of state so you don't have to pay tax. In fact, some good ones will tell you of places to go over the border, like for us in suburbs of Chicago. And I just want to say that I had brought this up, I don't know if it was last week, I brought this up, a letter that was written to John Taylor by Thomas Jefferson, which was in 1816. When Thomas Jefferson, when he could see the light at the end of the tunnel and he had this huge debt, you know, the banks wanted to charge him a tremendous amount of interest to pay for the Civil War. It was awful. And, of course, he didn't want to do that. And he called a friend in Chicago by the name of John. I'm sorry, I take that back. This is John Taylor. Dick Taylor was the guy that he was friends with. And Dick Taylor was the guy that told him about the greenbacks. But he wrote a letter to John Taylor in 1816, and he says, "I sincerely believe that the banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies." That's quite a statement. Let me say it again. "I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling fatuity on a large scale. So you hear it all around us for the last, 10, 15, 20 years. We hear the people today on how the government, especially this CEO, how the government is doing all this spending and how it's going to affect our children and our grandchildren, our posterity. And Jefferson was saying it way back in 1860. We have a whole system based on debt. And when the government needs money, they get money from taxation, of course, but a lot of their funding comes from just printing money. Dangerous, and you can only do it for so long a time until the system collapses. I tell you, it looks like it's on the verge. The next point that we have to look at in Section 8 has got to do with the post offices and the roads. And being an ex-mail carrier, I could tell you that I came across roads, postal roads that weren't used on my particular route, but had been used, years prior. And I also, I think the post office, and I help me on this one, I can't give you the exact date, but the post office, I think it was in the early 70s, was turned into a corporation. Can anybody speak into that on the call tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. Requested
go ahead. Yeah.
That was July 1st, 1971.
Yeah.
That they changed over. And in addition to that, the Postmaster General changed from being a cabinet position in the, in a department, that their cabinet position in the federal government to a CEO of a private corporation. And with that, a yield.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else want to chime in on that? Thank you so much, Representative Schmidt.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay. Enough said on that. I just want to move in and touch. We don't have too much time left here, but I want to move into clause number 8. To promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times the authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. This simply, not to spend any time, too much time at all on this, this just really pertains to copyright law and trademark laws, patents to say. So copyright law, trademark law, and patents. Is anybody, the floor is open. Anyone want to contribute to Clause 8? The floor is open. All right. Looking at Clause number 9, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. And then I'm just going to tag on 10 to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, and putting those together, every federal court has been established by Congress. In fact, Congress can disband federal courts. You hear a lot of complaints about, maybe you haven't, but through the years you've heard complaints about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the most overturned court probably in the federal court system. Well, if Congress wanted to, they could just get rid of that court and disband it. Congress has that power to do that. And referring to define, punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. Well, all the things that Congress has the power to act on, there's not too many things that Congress has the right to punish. However, when it comes to piracy and felony, is one of the things they have power to punish. They have the power to punish counterfeiting and treason and very little else that tells them that they have the power to punish. Does anyone want to speak into that? The floor is open. All right. And I think I'm going to end here with number 11. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Declaring war is given as a part of the legislative powers of Congress. It is not a power given to the president. Let me say that again. Declaring war is given as a part of the legislative powers of Congress. It is not a power given to the president, the executive branch. No one else except Congress. This issue of declaring war, I just want to take you back to the Declaration of Independence. It says that free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that, as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and all other acts and things which independent states may have right to do. So that's from the Declaration of Independence, and this is referring to the House of Representatives, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled. So, I don't know, somebody seems like they're not getting this up there in Washington. Does anybody want to comment on this? The floor is open.
This is Representative Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
It isn't that they're not getting it. They're deliberately carrying out their own corporate agenda. And deliberately refusing to follow the de jure republic constitution. And with that, I yield the floor.
I was waiting for that. Very well said, Representative Schmidt. Anyone else?
This is from Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just want to say, in the enumerated powers of Congress to declare war, they've only done it five times, and let's see. Well, the last one that I have on record is World War II, and that's because Germany already declared war on the United States anyway, so they just acted in kind. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Binder. Anyone else?
This is Representative Schmidt requesting the floor again.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What about the Vietnam War? How was that declared? Did Congress take a vote on that?
It was not the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the War in Grenada, the Iraq War. None of those had a declaration of war.
Well, the Civil War either.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So basically, these other wars, the Congress didn't even do any votes on it then, or they didn't call it a declaration of war. Am I correct?
Yep. Must have been weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, it could be, because I remember reading something about the Vietnam War. I know President Johnson basically he threatened retaliation against any senator that would vote against going to war against Vietnam. With that, I yield.
All right. Just to recount, Representative Mark Binder, I believe last week brought the five wars, the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, and World War II was the last one that there was a declaration on. That was December 8, 1941. I have a question for you, if you could remember this. This is just a trivia. When we get back on the 9th of September, here's the question. Who chaired the school board for the District of Columbia where he authorized the first plan of education adopted by the city of Washington? And in his plan, his plan was to use the Bible and Isaac Watts' psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to teach the students how to read. I'll say it again. Who chaired the school board for the District of Columbia where he authorized the first plan of education adopted by the city of Washington? And his plan was to use the Bible and Isaac Watts' psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to teach the students how to read. Okay, so we're looking forward to seeing you all on the 9th. And we'll take it up. We'll continue on with the declaration of war here. And I wish all of you have a great Labor Day weekend. And, Mr. Speaker, with that, I yield.
Well, thank you very much for our education piece for tonight. Before we go any further, Representative Owens, I noticed that Representative Grant from Illinois has joined us. You want to tell us that you're here, Representative Grant, please?
Grant, Representative Grant, present.
Thank you very much. And I've also confirmed with the Senate that they will be doing a joint session with us on the 9th, our next meeting, about 6:15 Pacific time. So we'll be having a session with them. So prepare your questions and comments for them when we get together with them our next session. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we adjourn until September 9th, 2014. That's a Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin seconding the motion.
Thank you very much. All in favor of adjourning until September 9th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed? Okay, before we adjourn, is there somebody like to close us out in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'll be glad to do so, sir.
You have the floor.
Lord Jesus, we ask that we just thank you for guiding us in this legislative meeting, and we also ask that you would give us wisdom as we continue to consider these bills that are before us, and give us understanding in the continuing education that we are getting, Representative Hertler, and we just thank you for good health and life, and we ask that you would give us safety, good health, and life, and bring us back safely to the next joint meeting, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, everybody enjoy their week off. Have some good time with your family, and we'll see you on the 9th. Be blessed, everyone. Good night.
Night.
Night.